You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah. Broadcasting from Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. Now, let me just tell you something. So I get here yesterday, right? Drive up to Las Vegas. Pretty uneventful drive. Beautiful day, low 70s. Along the way, I stopped and at a gas station, and pretty funny, I thought anyway, but I can't remember how many years ago would it have been. It would have been forever ago. General Furness and I were driving up here for a ball, and we stopped at that same gas station to he administered the oaths of office to my son. It's my house, yeah, in case you don't know. But, yeah, General Furness administered the oath to my son, John. and then I went in to get some water or something to snack on as I was driving, and some gum. I belt feed gum when I drive. These days, I haven't always done it, but I do now. I'll go buy like three of those big packs of gum, and I'll chew like two pieces of gum until it has no flavor, which is how many minutes? Not very long. That gets spit out, the next get fed. Yeah. Belt fed gun chewer. Anyway, so I stopped to get some gum and water and whatnot. And so, I get here, and I check in, and kind of had a cool experience checking in. I'm standing in line, there's a couple of Marines standing in front of me, and we're just chatting, and one of them says, what are you here for, or what do you do, are you just having a good time, you know, for the weekend, are you here in business? I said, well, I think I'm your guest speaker, and one of them looks at me, and he says, you're Mac, and I said, yeah, I am. And he says, we're excited to hear what you have to say. And I started laughing. I said, come on. I said, nobody's excited to hear a guest speaker at a birthday ball speak. And he said, no. He said, we've heard about you. And so we talk, and then I check in. I come up to my room on the 67th floor of Cedars Palace. And I come into my suite, right? And you'll see pictures of it in his post. Check it out. I've never stayed in a hotel room like this in my life. So I send pictures to my family, right? And then Colleen and Catherine are like, they're feeding it to me. Like, what in God's name is that? I said, yeah, boom. They were like, wait a minute. We stayed with you in all the Fleabag hotels we've ever stayed in, and now that's how we get rewarded? Colleen, how come I'm not there? You're dog sitting, right? That's what you're doing, Colleen. But huge suite, right? Living room, a meeting table here, right? You go into the bedroom, right? Walk-in closet that's gigantic, and I'm looking out on the strip. Everybody else that I talk to has rooms facing the other direction, not moi. Looking right down on the strip, spectacular. So then you go into the bathroom, okay? Bathroom's got a huge jacuzzi in it, and it's all sandstone, beautiful, you know, done, as you might imagine. The shower's got about 37 nozzles. It looks more like a car wash than it does a shower. And it takes a couple minutes before you learn how to adjust all the... Actually, it's actually kind of simple. I was surprised. There's a main nozzle that governs temperature, right? So you set that, and then you start opening up water. It's like being at SeaWorld when they had the Sparklets water show. For those of you that ever saw that, water going everywhere. And then, like, you walk in and you stand in it, I guess. And I actually took a video of that, sent that to my daughters. Like, what are you doing here? They're like, good God, are you that stupid? I said, no, I'm being funny, okay? Show some respect for your father. So the room is beautiful. So I had to record the chef, who you'll hear today, because I'm off to do some stuff with the Las Vegas Fire Department this morning, which I'm fired up about that, as you might imagine. I'm in here doing that, and then I get ready. Now, the whole tuxedo event was a little bit more complicated than I thought. Yeah. So I had to figure out the whole tuxedo, get the bow tie on right, get that thing to sit in place and not go crooked, blah, 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 right? So I'm doing that. And then go down to the reception. And you know what? I call it the prom gone wrong, man. It is, Marines look fantastic. And they're going through the lobby of the hotel. And you know, there's all these Marines. People are stopping and looking at them and things like that. And, so the whole thing looks great. And their dates and their husbands and boyfriends are all dressed great. And so it's a very cool thing. And especially, you know, and one of the things I commented about ultimately, when I spoke was, you know, never pass up an opportunity to thank a Vietnam veteran, ever. And the reason is because, you know, they did not come home to this treatment. Okay. They got treated pretty differently. And the country grew up on that. And don't take that for granted. When you meet a Vietnam veteran, you shake their hand and say, thank you. Thank you. Because I don't get treated like that. And so I'm always mindful of that when I see that. And so So the other thing was, as soon as I got here, actually, before I even checked in, I had to go to rehearsal. One of the time-honored traditions, man, and you're there for hours as, you know, the color guard gets it right. And let me tell you, Marine Wing Support Squadron 372, right? So they support everything that goes on at the airfield, right? They essentially run the airfield. And so they deploy around the world doing that kind of stuff. And their color guard is as good as any color guard I've ever seen. The dudes were locked on. It was awesome to see that. And you can see them, you know, they're practicing. And they had M14s. Deep! Yeah, it was awesome. So anyway, so you're watching that, and it's a time-honored tradition that if you're in the ceremony, you're going to be there for hours going through it, right? From the march on, right, to the manual of arms with your sword, right, to the ceremony, to the readers, the whole nine yards, to the cake cutting, right, to all, you know, to marching off. So it was, so went to the rehearsal, and it was every bit of that, right? It was, they were going to get it right. And they did. It was a great ceremony. So the, and then, come up here and then got the tux on. I was like satisfied with the tux. It looked good. And I wore my cummerbund from my mess dress. So mixed that in there. And, black tux, nothing fancy, you know, just a classic, you know, grown-up tuxedo look, and then went to the reception. Then you begin to meet Marines and people. Some listen to All Marine Radio, and some have heard about post-traumatic wing. And so this has changed a little bit from me showing up kind of anonymous to a lot of people have heard about post-traumatic wing. And I have to say, it's pretty cool. And it takes me back a little bit. Because... yeah, I'm not that guy. And so it's humbling to think that what you conceive, that you work on every day is kind of hitting the target, and people listen. So, and it's impactful. I guess that's probably the most gratifying part of it. So, then we did this, the ball starts, and, it's just cool, right? Everybody, you know, I don't know, 700 people, you know, Marines, well, no, it's more than that, probably, I don't know, probably 1,200 total, 600 plus Marines. Some of them were deployed last year, so the ball wasn't as big, and so they were happy to have everybody back. And so it starts, and it's just a cool thing. So it came time for me to speak. And, you know, it's like, does anybody remember anything they've ever heard at a birthday ball from a speaker? I was thinking earlier in the day, I don't. So my remarks were pretty simple. And, my message was simple, like, I'm here because I think I've done something good, right? And that's why you're Sergeant Major Riggs, right? And Sergeant Major Riggs, class act, came to my house to invite me, right? Didn't do the standard, send me an email. He said, hey, sir, I'd like to come to your house. I've got business I'd like to conduct with you. And he came and personally invited me. And then... And then Lieutenant Colonel Benninghoff, he spoke before me. He's a motivator. I stood up and I'm like, yeah, how do I follow that, man? So, he's, you know, all the enthusiasm that you would hope that somebody would connote in on a night like that. And then I spoke, and so my message was simple, and I've talked about it the last few days, but it was, be great in your life. You have one lap around the track. You don't decide when you get off the track, all right? So be great. How do you be great? You can only be great at that which you're passionate about. So Follow your passion. Find a way to make your passion your life. And that's really what's happened to me. You know, sometimes in my ignorance, sometimes just not quitting, and then other times being fortunate that guys like Bob Nielsen hear about you and begin to listen and then turn around and support you. And so so it's been incredible, you know, my experience, and that's what I wanted to convey to him. But it only happens if you follow your passion and you work your ass off, and you know how to do that. If you're a Marine, you know how to do that. And you have the unique DNA that brings you in this organization in spite of all the things that you've seen on videos and all the rest of the craziness that that you've seen in a culture that is pretty soft, to be honest with you. The culture you grew up in excuse me, is nothing like the culture I grew up in. And so your choice of the Marine Corps speaks volumes about who you are and your DNA. Continue to follow that, right? That which sets you out on a path that few follow, follow that path. Follow your passion, right? And apply the things that you've learned here and be great, right? Do not be mediocre. Be great. And to do that, you have to follow your passion. And if you do that, you'll be happy. You'll never work a day in your life. And that's me. I don't work. Look, I went to that last night and hung out there till, I don't know, 1 a.m. or whatever. And this morning I get up, right? Having room service. Yeah. Having room service in, Caesar's Palace. And then in about 40 minutes, I'm going to Uber over to the, fire station. And I'm going to spend a few hours with them. And so, that's work. Come on, man. Not even close. It's a treat, for God's sakes. It's a treat. So, and that's my point. And what happens when you're happy? What happens when you're fulfilled? What happens when you're doing the things you're passionate about? Well, that happiness spills over into the lives of other people. And so, how do you win in life? You do the things you're passionate about. And you let it rip. You know? And so at the end, I challenged him. I said, be great. Be great. And I think I yelled one more time. Be great. Right? And so so then, like, everybody's done speaking, and we eat, right? And then after we eat, you know, people would find me. And it's amazing. You know, you had guests that came up, and one woman came up to me and told me that she just had 5 friends commit suicide. And it's stunning. And so, you know, when you hear that, it's like, man, how do we make it stop? And she said, I just want to thank you for what you said tonight. She said, because it was really impactful, with me. And, I said, well, that's cool. And so then we talked for about 20 minutes. And I said, we're going to do a spouses thing or come to the thing for the Marine in about 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, whenever we're doing it. I said, but come. Make sure you put it on your schedule and make sure you get there. And she said, I will. And then I said, I promise you that you can use this as a springboard. And then another another girl who was is an EMT in her professional life, she did contract corpsman work for the Navy. I guess she got hired in some capacity. And so she was there with her boyfriend, and she was telling me, she says, oh my God, she says, I'm trying to write my master, I think her master's dissertation, and I think you just wrote it for me. And I said, feel free, man, and I'd love to help you. She said, but this is kind of what's been in my head, but obviously I didn't know, right? I didn't know this stuff like you have laid it out. And then so we had a conversation, and then, you know, so again, I don't know these people, right? And she looks at me and she says, well, you know, for me, you know, it started, I was raped when I was young. And, you know, and people that don't know me from Adam walk up and share these things with me because I'm I'm honest with them. And so, it's amazing. Then later on, having leadership conversations with Marines, you know, one staff sergeant who's now a master sergeant was in Afghanistan with us, who I worked for. He said, "Sir, I worked in the COC. I'd talk to you." I was like, "Get out of here." He goes, "No, I was with 3-6. We were in Afghanistan. We left in towards the end of September 2010. I said, "What's up, man?" He said, "No, you guys were awesome. You guys were awesome." He said, "When you guys took over, it was like, what just happened? Who are these people? You know, all they do is they help you and they make your life easier." And they would. I'm like, "Well, isn't that the way it's supposed to be?" And he said, "Well, yeah, but it doesn't work like that all the time." And so talking to those guys and their questions, and with their wives standing there and participating too, will Marines talk about this stuff? And the answer is yes. They're dying to talk about it. They're waiting for you to talk about it. And then I tell different little stories. But it's always interesting, you know, to hear a spouse's perspective about what, you know. So he walks away to get a beer, and so it's she and I and some other groups standing there. And then she says, "Well, you know, it started with a car accident he got into when he was 13. So, you know, you find out that it's like it's, you know, that everybody wants to believe it's military stuff. And a lot of the time it's not. It's stuff that started in your personal life. And then the military stuff certainly puts more stress on it, without a doubt. And so, so it's really interesting, the conversations and hang out. And I got a chance to, again, to, towards the end of the night, to talk to Sergeant Major Riggs, and who's a grunt, doing his first duty assignment outside the grunts, I want to say 15 years, and as a Sergeant Major of the squadron, and then Lieutenant Colonel Bettinghoff. And so talking about the application of it, and, you know, what is the feedback on this, and what is the take on this, and how does it, you know, what about the follow-up, And I said, "Hey, you guys are going to experience it, right? You guys are going to experience it. And what I'm telling you is the gospel. They're waiting for you. And it happens at every unit that I do this, right? If you guys stand up and tell the truth, and it's important that both of you participate, right? If you stand up and tell the truth about your lives, and you require those subordinate to you to do the same, you have all these young people who are sitting there going, 'I had no idea. These Marines, men and women, are just like me. Holy shit.' And they just told me, 'Anytime you want to talk about any of this stuff, walk into my office. Come find me. If you see me, stop me.'" And again, that's, in my opinion, that destroys, or that makes a huge dent in the whole isolation piece. So I had a chance to talk to them. And you know, the cool part is you could tell that they're both outstanding leaders. I would not be here were they not concerned, were they not inquisitive. And that's, you know, those are the makings of outstanding leaders. And you could tell, again, you can tell units when you walk into what kind of a unit it is. You can tell by the way the Marines act. You can tell by the way they greet each other. You can tell by the way they interact with the officers and the staff NCOs of the organization. And you can tell when it's good. And this squadron's good. You can tell just by the way the Marines interact with each other. And so those conversations. And again, what's really cool is that you can tell, you know, how deeply that they want to make a difference. And so again, just a wonderful night in a beautiful setting. Caesar's Palace, absolutely fantastic. It is big, it is a gigantic place too. You go to the convention center. I'd be curious to see the layout of this thing in a blueprint, but wow. I was here, I want to say my son John, when he was a second lieutenant, came to a ball here. In fact, I still think I have the name tag that was in front of my plate, in my garage, on my workbench, I think it is. Yeah, Second Lieutenant McNamara, right? So anyway, So I was one of John's guests, so that was in front of my place. So anyway, but it's a spectacular place. And let me just tell you, the way that they've treated me is it's humbling. I'm like, are you sure this is right? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah. So anyway, just want to say a huge thank you to the Marines and sailors, the spouses of Marine Wing Support Squadron 372. And I told them, I said, you know, let me tell you what they gave me. They gave me a framed picture of, hold on, let me grab it. All right. It's a framed and matted picture in a beautiful frame. And it says this, presented to Major Michael McNamara at the 244th Marine Corps birthday, Marine Corps Ball. Your strong moral character and positive words of wisdom will not be taken lightly. Your leadership has helped set the foundation for the future success for all Marines. Thank you for your dedication and service to the United States Marine Corps. And then, quote, once a Marine, always a Marine. And then it has a wooden cutout of their logo. They're the Diamondbacks. And then if you're in post-traumatic winning, right, I steal the logo of the Chicago Cubs. It's not the logo, but they fly a flag over Wrigley Field, right, when they win. And it's just on a white field. It's on a white flag. There's a blue W. And that's in the presentation. And I've also used it as a you'll see it on the website and stuff like that. Well, they took a picture. They got 1, 2, 3, 4 platoons out there, right? The color guard. And then you have Colonel Bennington, DXO, Benninghoff, DXO, and a sergeant major. And then they've got, and I thought they photoshopped it. And so I'm looking at the picture, and in the matting, there's the blue W as well, right? So there's a cutout, and then there's a... The matting is crimson, right? The color that we wear on our blood stripe and whatnot is that color. So anyway, and cut out is the blue W in white with a white background. And so the picture, all these Marines in their dress blues with the airfield in the background, and there's wreckers and cranes and all the stuff that they use to do what they do down at the airfield, right? Refuelers, all that stuff that, again, in support of guys like, you know, that I was with. You know, aviation just doesn't show up, right? It shows up because Marines like this make that stuff happen. So anyway, and I told them that. But you have a corporal with a senator with a flag attached to a guidon stick, and it's the blue W on a white field. And I thought they photoshopped it. So I'm looking at the picture, and I'm like, this is awesome. And I just thought it was the, you know, that they had taken this picture as a squadron picture, and then they photoshopped the picture, the white W, the flag in there. It would have been their battalion, their squadron colors or whatnot, which is kind of stupid because the color guard's in the background. But I was being stupid, so... And so he said, no, we took that picture. And then Colonel Bedinghoff's wife says, yeah, the wind wasn't blowing that day. So what you don't see in the picture is a wire and a wooden stick, and that's how they got the blue W flag to fly straight. And I said, what? And I said, say that stuff again. And they said, yeah, no, we took that picture for you. And then it's like, you got to be kidding me. And he said, no, you know, and we're excited that you're here, and we're excited that you're going to come down, and, you know, we're excited about change your life. And I was like, it just stopped me. You know, one of the coolest gifts I've ever got, and what makes it cool is... the effort that got put into it, which is always what makes a gift cool. So, again, just for me, to the Marines and sailors and the families, and in particular Sergeant Major Riggs and Lieutenant Colonel Bettinghoff, who are great leaders in the Marine Corps. And the problems that young Marines have, that they're aware of them, and they're looking for solutions, and that's what brought them to me and to post-traumatic winning. And I can't say thank you enough for the opportunity to speak last night, to hang out with them, and to get to know them as leaders. So it was cooler than cool. So with all that said, I got it's an awesome picture, man. It is, yeah. And I looked at it, I'm like, oh, that's cool. They photoshopped the W in it. And it was like, no, we took that picture. I was like, shit, that's awesomer. Yeah. So anyway, just an awesome night. And then today going to be an awesome morning. So looking forward to today as well, when I get to hang out with another one of my former Marines from 1984, 1985, Lance Corporal Nick Ratiff, who's a fire captain here in Las Vegas, and he kind of touched wires and put me in touch with people. They came down and saw it at Pendleton, and so today I'll do it for some more of the leadership so that they can see, is this something that we want to pursue? So with my fingers crossed, I'll do it today, and I'll tattoo them, and then hopefully good things happen. And this will be the start of a line of effort with post-traumatic winning that starts here in Clark County. The Clark County Fire Department is what they're called. You would know them as the Las Vegas Fire Department. And I think it's Clark County Fire and Rescue. And so, but then what that does is it creates an opportunity to change lives in the first responder community all across the country. And that's what I'm excited about. And so if it doesn't happen here, it'll happen with some other organization. I know that because the message is too powerful. So anyway, pretty cool stuff. On this Friday, Whitney Houston gets the program moving. Good morning to you. Was above average. Anyway, well done, Whitney. And this is dedicated, obviously, to the Marines and sailors of Marine Wing Support Squadron 372. Thank you very much for, the invitation and the opportunity to speak. Thank you very much for your gracious and courtesy to me last night and rolling out the red carpet. And to Lieutenant Colonel Bettinghoff and to Sergeant Major Riggs, thank you. It was an absolute joy to hang out with your squadron, and I'm looking forward to coming back and doing post-traumatic winning and helping you continue to impact the lives of the Marines and sailors that you command. So this is dedicated to all of you, on what was as a, no, I don't want to say thank you, but as a well, kind of as a thank you for just an absolutely wonderful night. So this is dedicated to you all. Check the weather real quick. We'll take a break, and then we'll continue. Currently, sunny at 46 in Quantico. Yeah, Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, raining in 52. 29 Palms, sunny in 61. Fog in 52 at Pendleton. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 70. Okinawa, dark clear in 66. In Lashkar Gah in Afghanistan, it is clear dark in 54. In Ramadi, clear, dark, and 70. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 60. Looking for a high of 69 today. 78 tomorrow. And here in Las Vegas, it is sunny and 58 degrees. Looking for a high of 75. So pretty mild day here in the desert as I drop my phone. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Not hurting here in Caesar's Palace, right? The room service is pretty above average, too, just so you know, just for the record. Yeah. Scrambled eggs, sausage with a little kick to it, a little spice, and some hash brown. I didn't really eat last night. I didn't have the chance. I started to eat, and then I started talking, and then I didn't stop talking. That may shock you. Yeah. But if it does, you know, it's the way I am. You know, you may not know that, but yeah, but once it starts. But pretty cool. Somebody sent me an email. Are you watching the impeachment stuff at all? Not a bit. I honestly, I'm too busy. Here's my philosophy about the impeachment thing. First of all, it's not gonna work in the Senate unless something of greater substance happens. You know, I'd be curious if there was this kind of scrutiny on, you know, on the Kennedys during the Civil Rights Movement. Could you imagine that? Right? The Kennedys trying not to get too close to the Civil Rights Movement because it was just too much of a problem, right? It was just going to be a vote loser, right? Or, you know, Nixon and Johnson as they attempted to manage the Vietnam fiasco, right? Or any of the other things that presidents have got us into. So quid pro quo, right? It's the way it works. You do this, or we're going to do this. Now, have somebody carrying your political water? Now, do you think that doesn't happen? That's not part of it? I think if you think that, you're naive. You know, and so I would like slow the roll of your righteous indignation, because this is the greasy shit of politics. And so you're having both sides who've decided that they will play this out, you know, before the American people. And the Democrats have bet that the American people, you know, they're gunning for that middle third of the country to convince them not to vote for the President of the United States, right? Donald Trump. Right? And to vote for who? Elizabeth Warren? The middle of the country is going to vote for Elizabeth Warren. It will never happen. Right? And you have the Republicans in the Senate saying, hey, this thing's so dead, it's not even funny. So, again, I think the President of the United States plays loose with everything. And it's what he's done his whole life. And what he's running into is more scrutiny and legal ramifications, right? And him not being able to go sideways, lawyer up, drag things out, which, you know, supposedly he did in the construction business forever, right? Start companies, you know, declare bankruptcy, blah, blah, blah. It's just part of being in business, you know? So anyway, I think that's how he's been. Now, there's greater consequences when you're responsible for stuff. But no, I have not been, you know, paying attention to it, honestly, at all. It's on the monitor. I see headlines, but I don't stop and watch it. I just think it's the disgusting nature of American politics these days, right? And, you know, you see the stuff that has happened in our country, and you just shake your head. It's just more, in my opinion, it's more political games. And when you hear people like Adam Schiff talking about getting to the truth, he's not interested in the truth. He's not interested in the truth one bit. And let me tell you, and the Republicans, right, they can say, this, that, and the other thing, but they've done the other stuff. And I'll tell you what's, to me, most illustrative of this shit is when you see historical comments made by people that are still in office during the Bill Clinton impeachment, right? Nancy Pelosi, you hear Chuck Schumer, the stuff they say, right? And Clinton was guilty of perjury as a sitting president of the United States. Right? This is, you know, and your list is like, it's all theater. It's all the theater of American politics. So I'm not so much about it, to be honest with you. We're going to do the top five stories in Early Bird, and then I'm headed down Flamingo Avenue, Flamingo Road, Flamingo Boulevard here in Las Vegas, and going to go hang out with the Clark County Fire Department. And going to see my boy Nick Ratiff, Lance Corporal, United States Marine Corps. And, looking forward to it, to do post-traumatic when he went to him. So, top five stories in Early Bird. One, a big fan. Trump welcomes Erdogan despite bipartisan concern. A big fan? Really? These are the same stories as yesterday. Hold on, let me see if they update. Early Bird having issues evidently today. Or maybe it's my internet's being slow. We'll get to the bottom of that momentarily. After this page loads, which is irritating me. You know what? Quite often, as opposed to using like the hotel internet, as often as I can, I use the my own internet. I link my computer to my phone and bypass all the nonsense that goes with these things. So I'm in the process of flipping networks, so to speak, and we'll see if we can update. We can see if we can update the top five stories in on Early Bird and see if this changes. Otherwise, Military Times needs to get its act together, man. Because we expect quality service here when we're looking for news, man. Yeah, it ain't the internet. All right, so we'll go to Stars and Stripes, look at the top stories there. And hope Military Times gets our act together at some point in the not-too-distant future. The top story in Stars and Stripes, Marine pilot survived in sea for nearly 10 hours after deadly collision, his smartwatch shows. So this is the, I want to say, I'm not sure if it was front seat or the back seat. The data extracted from the Garmin Fenix 3 smartwatch of Captain Jamar Rizillard, a Marine Corps pilot who ejected from an F-18 Hornet after colliding with a KC-130J tanker last year off the coast of Japan. And it talks about there's some related stories now to this, all right? And interesting. In-flight selfies and other reckless behavior by Marine aviators outraged Japan officials. I don't know if that's a news story or something they dredged up. And here's another one. Four Marine officers fired in the wake of the deadly 2018 collision during air-to-air refueling. Let me just see if these are news stories. This one's published November 8th of this year. Japan-based Marine Corps aviators' antics, including reading, hair grooming, and letting go of aircraft controls while posing for in-flight photos, are detailed in an incident report that sparked outrage among Japanese officials who recently learned of its content. A report says a pilot's inexperience conducting nighttime in-air refueling and toxic leadership contributed to the mid-air collision of the F-18 Hornet and the KC-130 air tanker last year that killed six air crewmen. Investigators determined that all Marine Weather Fighter Attack Squadron 242 suffered from inadequate oversight of training and operations and an unprofessional command climate. Four Marine officers, the unit's the commander, its XO, its operations officer, and its safety officer were fired as a result. The report, which said the officers engaged in wrongful use of prescription and over-the-counter drugs, includes in-flight selfies taken by the squadron's aviators while performing antics like grooming facial hair with a switchblade comb and reading The Great Santini by Pat Conroy. It also quotes from an online chat group where Marine officers used inappropriate language to describe some of their colleagues. Those chat rooms, man. Be careful in those things, right? Once it goes digital, it ain't coming back. The report also mentions a 2016 mishap involving the squadron near Kadena Air Base in Okinawa in which a Hornet's fuel drogue struck and sheared off a portion of the KC-130J's fuel hose and drogue. No one was injured in the incident. Now, supposedly, that investigation was never finished, and the exact same maneuver, I guess this flyby on both sides of the KC-130 was what was responsible for that incident as well, but that investigation was never finished. So that's number one is Stars and Stripes. Next headline. U.S. Army's new card-playing cards feature Russian tanks, Chinese missiles, and Iranian weapons. You know, this has been going on forever. You know, that you find stacks of cards. I remember during the war in Iraq, they had decks of cards with the pictures and a description of all the HVTs, high-value targets, high-value individuals. Right. Interesting. We'll go to the Marine Corps Times, and then we're going to call it a day, and the chef's going to come in here, and I'm going to be off to do my thing. And then I've got this room for another night. Yeah, that's how cool they were to me. Right? That's how cool they were to me. Now, it's interesting. Those articles were written in Stars and Stripes last week. There's nothing in Marine Corps Times about it. You have really interesting stories like military academy athletes can now delay service and go pro. Yeah. Anyway, that'll do it. I'm out of here. Have a great day. The chef is up next. I will see you on Monday, live from Yuma, Arizona. That's right. Two-thirds of the earth is covered by water. The other third is covered by post-traumatic winning, courtesy of All Marine Radio. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next. The Chef, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.